She's the talk of the town. You want to be around to hear what Marge will say. What's going on in our hometown? What's the buzz today? She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give Marge a cheer. Marge Hazelette. She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give her a cheer. Marge Hazelette.
And here we are, folks. We are, oh my goodness, talk of the town, Marge Hazelette. Only two more shows left in 2018. Marge, can you believe it? We're almost in 2019.
And by the way, I talked to our very dear friend who lost her husband, Nan.
Oh, Nan, yes.
Yes, and she seems to be doing okay. And I told her we wanted Iraq.
Yes, absolutely.
And I said we were a good team, the three of us, and I would love to have her back.
So hopefully... I'm sure Nan will take some time off here for her husband's passing, but he lived to a great age, 95.
Oh, yeah, 95. And very well known in town, very musically inclined. Everybody liked him.
Ralph Weir. Mm-hmm. You know, I never got the pleasure to meet him, but the way Nan spoke of him, he had to be a great guy.
I never heard a bad word about the man, never.
Yeah. So I'm sure Nan will take this time, and it is a grieving process even
yes,
at 95,
is.
And she took care of him. But the moment Nan feels she wants to come back, her seat is open.
We can always figure out something to talk about.
That's right. We've got four microphones, and what you know, she's never met Brandy, so the four of us will have a wonderful time on
like
that noon
Brandy.
Show. Brandy's very good.
Yeah.
I love kidding around with her.
She's got vibration, and... She's just really a nice person. I like her.
Well, I will say that, you know, this week of Christmas, which is what we're going to talk about this hour, you know, there is a lot of hustle and bustle because of presents and stores and busyness and plays. But, you know, Christmas, what it always makes me think about, and has in the last 5 years, is mm-hmm. this station in a way, because we don't have arguments. I mean, we have arguments on the air, which are fun. But honest to God, you know, Charlie and I argue all the time on the air, but I've never had an argument with Charlie Evers off the air. Never. I love
like
Charlie.
Him.
I love Charlie.
I've known him for years and years.
Marge and I, we were just talking. I've known Marge now 17 years.
Yeah, a long
almost
time.
18.
Right.
We've never had an argument. Brandy, we argue all the time on the air, but when the show's over... It's over. You know,
right.
We go back to regular life.
And she's so kind of helping me up the steps.
Yes, she is. And I appreciate that.
I do, too. I appreciate her very much.
But we don't have arguments here.
I just have to tell people we have steps that are dangerous.
We do. We do.
Man, oh, man. They want to get rid of you, put you down those steps.
We're going to have, one day we'll get an elevator. Once we get really rolling here, we'll have to put an elevator in out there.
I think everybody would like that.
Well, you know, I guess my Christmas sentiment here is last night I put the picture up of the Christmas party, and it made me think, you know, I do love these people. I love you, Marge. I love the people who weren't able to attend the Christmas party.
And I feel badly because I did get COVID.
Oh,
I actually did.
No, people.
I said, I cannot believe this. He's going to think I'm lying. Lying about my health, lying about this. I'm not.
No.
I never saw it fail.
No.
My husband and I'd be all dressed up to go somewhere, And wouldn't you know it, somebody roll in, some student crying because they couldn't get a math problem. I used to think to myself, is there anything in this world besides math?
I know. No. I didn't think, I mean, we had, I think the people, well, the pastor had an engagement, Pastor Whitaker. Mm-hmm. That was understandable. I mean, I don't think anything.
I can't believe it. I'm all ready to come. And I thought, oh, no. Go away.
I know.
Well, and then I had a feeling like I should hide, but there set my car in the garage. Well, I could have pulled that off, maybe.
Well, here's the good news. Today, Charlie and Brandy will be here, so we'll have a little bit of a party here today. And
good.
You know, we'll have fun. We'll talk Christmas memories and have a good time. But
and you're going to get us sandwiches.
Maybe. Maybe. You never know. We had pizza the other night. It was very good.
I liked that pizza.
It was very good pizza. So it was, and everybody had a joyful time, and boy, that Leshesky family. Boy, do they do.
I missed that.
Oh, they're wonderful.
I just, like I said, I can't believe what happens to me. Sounds like a lie, but I don't. Every time I think I'm going to go somewhere, or I'm going to do something for me, doesn't work out.
Well, we'll get it together, and I think...
I'm going to sneak in next year.
Well, you know what I thought. I think I said this on the air.
Why don't we have a dinner?
Well, yeah, what I said at the party was, why do we only do this once a year?
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to be Christmas-oriented.
No.
Why don't we do something like this more than once a year?
Right.
Because everybody has a good time.
Right.
And
Easter would be a nice
one. Easter would be a nice one.
Wouldn't be so hectic.
Well, you know, and I often think January, February, and March are kind of depressing because
right.
It's cold. There's no big holidays going on. Why not just have a get-together here that's just a get-together?
Right.
Just to have, you know, get out of that deep freeze.
Oh, my.
But this year, I do think we're supposed to have... I had that Farmer's Almanac woman on. I'm trying to remember what she said. She said it would be snowy, but not as cold.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. A little snow, as long as you know how to drive on it.
Right.
And some people don't.
That's right.
That's the problem.
I try to drive carefully. Every time I go to the doctor, every time I go here, don't be awful careful with your driving. What do they think I'm going to do? Go out here and fly in here and land on the highway or something? I try to be careful. I'm not out here racing around.
No. It's been a long time since you've had an accident, hasn't it?
Oh, don't say that. Don't say
No.
that.
Well, no, you're not going to have
no,
one.
No, I didn't have an accident. I had somebody hit me.
Oh, well, that's different.
And he really put me in the hospital. I couldn't work. And I had to go live with some friends that, you know, their parents were wonderful to me. And they owned a shoe store, so I worked the shoe store for my food. And they were wonderful. They were wonderful to me. But... you know, just had one thing after another when I was a student nurse, I'll tell you.
You know,
broke my back, and I was God.
I had a curse on me one time when it came to car accidents. And I, honest to goodness, never caused one of them. And the police records will show this. But I had 3 car accidents within a year, and they were all very strange. Now, the first one, I'm going to talk about these because I'm remembering them now. The first one... I was going down, it was dark, but I was going down Lynn Hampshire. And you know there at the four-way crossing on 309,
mm-hmm.
Light's green. So I went through, and a guy never stopped coming in the opposite direction on 309, and he sideswiped me, which was not fun, but it knocked me across the road, but, you know, hit me on the passenger side, so it didn't do anything to me. But that happened. And then this one is the most unbelievable. So it's nobody there now because this is more than a decade ago. But broad daylight on a hot summer day, probably about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I was sitting on 309 about to turn into that... area there where the Red Caboose is, the street before the Red Caboose. And I'm getting ready to turn down that road, so I'm stopped because the traffic's coming in the other direction. I'm at a dead stop. I'm in a black Honda Civic at the time. Dead stop, daylight, sun. And I see in my rearview mirror, because I'm not turning, because I can't turn into oncoming traffic, that a fire engine is behind me, like coming down the road, and it's coming kind of fast. And I thought, there's no lights on, so it wasn't going to a thing. And I just kept watching it in the rearview mirror, and I thought, boy, they're coming up fast. They never stopped. They hit me right in the back, but I think I braced myself because I did see it coming, but there was nowhere for me to go. So it hit me, shot me across the street. And then the third one, it wasn't funny at the time, but it was this time of year, Christmas time, matter of fact. One of my friends was having wisdom teeth out, and they were going to put him out to do it. So he couldn't drive himself home or drive himself there. So he asked me to do it. And the appointment was like 9 o'clock in the morning. So I go out and I sit in the waiting room while he's getting his wisdom teeth out. And they bring me back, and he's still out after the surgery's over. And he wakes up, and the anesthesia had made him kind of nauseated. And of course he, you know, bloop in the back. And after he did, they thought, okay, you're ready to go. So, you know, that when you have all four wisdom teeth out, they stuff your mouth with gauze and so on and so forth because there's bleeding involved. So I get him in the car, and to get where he lived, because he lived in Grandview, and the doctor's office that he had him done in was out in Doctors Park. So you got to go down Route 95. And I'm sitting there at the stoplight right in front of Perkins going, you know, toward Meyer. And we're at a dead stop, and a car, and he's laid back in the seat because he was kind of nauseated. He just woke up from the thing, so the seat's laid back. He's got the gauze in and the whole bit. Just had the surgery an hour earlier. And I'm sitting there waiting in traffic, and somebody hits me in the back, which sends me into the car in front of me. Now, it didn't. Luckily, it didn't, you know, crush a car or anything, but we all had to pull into Wendy's parking lot because they're calling the police and so on and so forth. And here he has just come from wisdom teeth. He's nauseated. He's got mouth packed full of gauze and so on and so forth, and the whole bit. So we're sitting there, and I get out of the car, and my neck was kind of hurt, but it didn't do any damage. And I, the officer arrives, and I'll never forget this. The officer comes over, and he says, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, my neck's a little sore from, 'cause I didn't see the car coming. And the other officer I can see going over to the passenger side to ask him if he's okay. Now, he's just had wisdom teeth surgery. I'll never forget this.
He probably threw up on
him. Oh, the doctor or the officer goes, because he's thinking about the crash. And the officer goes, "Are you okay, sir?" And he opened his mouth to talk, and it was all blood and gauze. And he said, "No more," because you can't talk when you got that stuff in there. And the officer goes, "Oh, my goodness." He said, "Did you hit your head on the dashboard?" He said, "What happened?" But he can't get the gauze out of his mouth. So he's saying, and the officer can't understand a word of what he's saying because he's stuffed full of this stuff. And the officer said, "What are you saying?" And he goes, and finally I said, "He just had his wisdom teeth out." Okay, so that part of it's over. So we get all the insurance information switched around, and we get back in the car, and he's starting to look a little green around the gills. And I said, "We haven't left Wendy's yet." I said, "Do you want to go inside and use the bathroom in there to, you know, 'cause you don't look well?" "No, I'm fine." "Okay." So we go, I didn't say, "No, no, no." So we start going down 95 after this hour detour, and we get past Bob Evans, and he looks at me, and he says, I'm gonna
throw up.
We're in the middle of 95. I can't pull off. I don't know what to do. So he opens his door, and right there at the stoplight by Meyer. And I'm telling you, if you could have seen the people's faces in the cars that were coming toward us as all this is coming out on the street, I'll never forget that. That's a Christmas memory for you. Oh, my God, Marge. That was awful.
Oh, I've had some crazy stuff happen to me. This kid, hit me. He was a minister's son, and they had warned him, one more time, you hit somebody, and you're going to jail. And he was a neighbor, and I saw him coming in my rear view mirror, and bang, knocked me right out of the car. If you talk about Mary Poppins, I flew through the air. Everybody was running over, that blank, blank, blank kid is going to kill somebody. And if that Marge dies, they're going to get it. He's going to get life. Well, the guys got me in. Of course, then they recognized that I was a nurse. I had my uniform on, my pin on, and everything. I'm the supervisor of the hospital, so I'm going to work early. And they said, Marge, you're in no condition to go anywhere. I said, what do you mean? I got to go. I got to work the house tonight. They said, you're not going to work anything. You're really hurt. I said, how could I be hurt? I didn't do anything. Oh, God.
Isn't it a mess?
They took him to court, and but I tell you, he liked to not got out of that one.
You know, Marge, I think it's fitting that we tell this story, because it is a Christmas story, but we've talked about it at other points. The Christmas where you wanted a doll. Tell the story. It's a good story.
Oh, the story about the
your war, mother, yep, and the
I
doll.
And I wanted the doll. I really thought my mother had, you know, pulled a fast one, you know, but she didn't. And I wanted that doll so bad. And, you know, for years and years, I thought she didn't buy it for me. And bless her heart, she had. But she didn't get it. You know, she paid for it and everything, but never got it.
You know, it's interesting how you can traumatize people. I don't think parents do it on purpose.
No.
But, you know, when kids are young, I even think before they're 18 and under, you know, you can really scar a child. And you don't mean to. I mean,
no,
it's just something
my grandmother had died that fall, and that doll meant a lot.
Yeah.
Because Grandma and I looked at it in the Montgomery Ward catalog. And I was so pleased because she gave my mother the money to buy it. And I thought my mom took my money. And I knew my mom wouldn't do that. But, it was just, everything was a mess during the war.
Well, you know, a lot of times I think back, and I think probably the parents had good intentions.
Right.
But I think the problem is that sometimes you really have to look at the situation and weigh it out. And you have to say, is this worth it? Is this worth having this fight? One of my, when I tell, and I'm not one to give a whole lot of advice, but I always tell people, you know, fight the big fights. Don't fight all the little fights.
No.
You know, you can have a fight every day if you let yourself.
Right.
But you do fight the big fights. You got to fight the big fights.
Yep.
But don't fight every single fight that comes down the path. You know, and that's where people get worn out, because they're constantly fighting the little fights. So when a big fight comes along, they're exhausted.
Right. I don't know. I just frankly don't like to fight. I don't like to verbally have a confrontation. I really just enjoy being happy.
Yeah.
I like being happy. I like giving things. I would give my shirt off my back because I'm that kind of person. But I don't know. Christmas is getting harder on me all the time. I feel badly for people because they can't afford things, and it isn't their fault always. You know, people think they're lazy or whatever, and that's not true.
No.
You know.
And Patty Worcester was here on Tuesday at the Christmas party. Mm-hmm. And this year, Christmas Clearinghouse raised $71,000.
Wow.
Wonderful. Great. And I do think, because Patty sent me an email the other day, that I think they do still have some stuff left. Now, I don't know at this late date, but, you know, it's not worth, give it a try. If you're in need out there right now, Patty Worcester, she gave her phone number the other night, so she's in the book, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So look it up. Our Christmas Clearinghouse, our Jody Reif, she's a big part of it too.
Oh, yes, she is.
So just get a hold of one of those ladies. You can find them.
Right.
And, you know, it's getting late, but who knows?
Well, Junior Service Guild really wants to help people, and they do. I can't do it anymore, but there are lots of other young girls out there doing it, picking up where us older ones can't do it. But anyway, it's a wonderful organization. And it's kind of getting low in count, too.
You know, last night when I think of Junior Service Guild, I think of you put a lot of years in, and Patty has put a lot of years in, and Martha Dell's put a lot of years in.
Oh, my, yes.
And I saw Martha last night.
Did you really?
I did, and she's
probably
looking,
looks the same.
Looking well, and just, you know, full of the Christmas spirit, and she had a Christmas shirt on, and, you know, just doing well. So I'm happy to inform everybody that Martha's doing well, and
we send her our best wishes.
Martha now, I believe, is, I think she told me 87.
Yeah, I believe she is.
Yeah, she'll be 88 in May, I think is what she said.
I think it's May.
So God bless her. And 75 years teaching dance in Marion, Ohio. 75?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody's done anything here for 75 years.
I don't think so. And she gave up her whole self as a high school student, as well as a person that was just a person by number.
When I was talking to her last night, I kept thinking, you know, there will never be another Martha Dowse.
No.
Her kids are all wonderful. I like her kids. I've met them all. Very nice people. But, and I met Joe. Joe was a good guy. Good guy. But Martha had a very unique and has a very unique personality. She is a go-getter. She wants everybody to feel their... You talk about somebody who really wants people to feel up. She loves to tell people the good things. I've never heard Martha point out somebody's bad things.
No, she isn't that kind of person.
She isn't that kind of person. And you know, it served her well these 88 years.
Yes.
God bless her. So, you know, I think about her, and it was so good to see her last night.
Right. What was she doing?
She was just, you know, honestly, I ran into her, and what she was telling me about was she wanted me to tune her radio because she said she couldn't get the station in, so I did that for her, and she was just kind of talking about what she was going to do at the holidays, said she had a great-great-grandchild on the way in January. It was just kind of casual talk. You know, Martha is a wonderful example of everything that... Marion, because here's a woman born in Marion, stayed in Marion, and
made it in Marion.
Absolutely. And you know, I think a lot about Martha because 75 years, her dance school would have started in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
That's World War II time.
Oh, my, yes.
And women did not run their own businesses in those days.
No.
But she did.
Yes, she did.
She did.
And ran a good one.
And ran a good one. And she had a really interesting life to the degree that she ran for a city council. She didn't win, but she did run. She was involved in politics. She had a very diverse life.
Mm-hmm.
And
many times misunderstood.
Yeah, I do think. I think sometimes Martha, because, again, of that very unique personality... People thought there were other things going on, but that's just Martha.
That's Martha.
Yeah, and it's just who she is. I wonder if her mother was that way.
I didn't know her mother.
Neither did I. Never met her mother. But I don't know if there were any similarities. But I think Martha, and I think of also people like George Kasotis.
Oh, yes.
What a unique person. What a great...
Wonderful person.
Wonderful person. Great person. Greek personality, veteran of the Korean War, fed people here in Marion for so many years.
And he came over to my house and did dinners here up to about 3 years ago.
Yes, I think he still occasionally caters, and I think he's 85 or 86.
Something like that.
So, you know, there are these treasures, and I don't know if we'll ever see the like of those people again.
Well, I was reading the obituary of Mr. Weir, and it was very well done. But I'm thinking in terms of so many people that have given so much to our community that nobody even realizes. And they have done and done and done. And I think it's a shame because they are very critical of them.
Well, it's sad because it was good for me, but I came into media when a lot of these people who had been movers and shakers were still alive, and I got to work with them on projects, like Oliver Hamilton. I got to know him pretty well. Of course, Madge Cooper, I got to know very well. Trella Romine, I knew pretty well. Robert Brown.
Oh, yes, I liked him.
Yeah, I knew Robert Brown well. So I got to know them before they left this life, and they were very unique people.
I think that Dr. Brown took a lot of guff from people.
Yeah, yeah.
I really do.
You know, I think he was he had an interesting way. A lot of people loved him, and a lot of people hated him. But when his name is brought up today, it's always in a good sense.
Right.
You know, so yeah, that's good.
Was a wonderful person.
Yeah, I think he was a tough superintendent. I think he didn't want to cancel school.
Oh, no.
No.
I can remember we got up at midnight, and we started digging out our driveway over on King Avenue. And if that wasn't a mess, and we were out all night, so tired we could hardly stand up. And guess what? He didn't call school off.
And you
it
know,
was above our car.
Well, see, to this day, that still remains because of Doc Brown. When Marion City School cancels, that's a big deal.
Oh.
Even though now we've got superintendents who will cancel for fog and things like that. But the reason that's, if people don't know, see, people, we don't know our history. The reason it's such a big deal for Marion City to cancel is because during the Doc Brown tenure, which would have been 60s, 70s, 80s, he had this thing about canceling school. He just would not do it. I don't know why. I don't know what that was.
I'll never forget the day he got lost in Fair Park.
Yes, in the snow.
Oh, my Lord, he never lived that down.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, and I think Charlie tells the story about he bolted into the radio station and said school's on and then got lost on the way home, which is what you're talking about. But my thing about that is that you know what I would have loved to ask Doc Brown now? I would have loved to have said to him, why? Why was canceling school such an awful thing for you? There had to be something.
I don't know what it was.
I don't know what it was either. There had to be something in his makeup. Because he was, for a long time, the kids of Marion disliked him for it.
Oh, yeah.
Because they never canceled school.
No.
And I wonder what it was about him. Maybe it's because he was a war veteran.
Maybe.
That might have dealt with it.
Well, and then when we didn't, I can remember when I was a kid, we lived on the very end of Marcus Street in Tiffin, and then it picked up Route 4 or something. And I can remember thinking to myself, Lord, we never get out of school. My uncle drove a milk truck, so we'd all pile in the milk truck to hold it down, to tell you the truth, was the whole thing, because, you know, they were lightweight. And my uncle would drive that thing around, and we'd be loaded with kids, and we'd get to school. We never canceled. Man, oh, man. We would go to school if we had to crawl there. We just didn't miss school.
You know, one thing that I think has changed that nobody really talks about when it comes to winter weather, which we'll probably get into not before, you know, January right around the corner. One of the things is, back in the, I want to say pre-1980, we all drove American cars, which were big tanks.
Oh, yeah.
They had big wheels. They were big cars. And when something is heavier, you get a lot better traction in snow and things like that. These little Honda Civics and little cars we drive now, they don't do very well on the snow.
No.
They're easy to get, you know, run down. You know, it used to be hard for a car to get flooded out if a big rainstorm, because the car sat so far off the ground and they were big cars. But now cars sit so low to the ground that you can flood out an engine.
Right. Yes,
so
you can.
I think it's just the makeup of our cars that has changed. And these cars weigh half what these big Ford cars used to weigh. So it's harder to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why, well, I don't know. I think that does have a lot to do with the way why we're having more wrecks.
Oh, I think so, too.
You know how hard it is to stop a car that has little wheels and doesn't weigh very much?
I know.
You know? The only thing I've ever learned in this whole bit is, and I still try to do it, is in the beginning of winter, I buy a box of kitty litter, and I put it in the back, because that's one thing that will give you traction on your tires. If you ever get stuck, if you put kitty litter down, you can get traction. And I thought that has always been the greatest tip.
Right.
To, because it's nothing to buy a bag of kitty litter. And just put it in the trunk, keep it there during the winter. If you don't use it, good. Save it for next year. It's not going to spoil.
No.
But that's a driving tip that I wish more people knew, because I do that. And it does work.
Oh, yeah, it does.
It does. If you get stuck.
I have some kitty litter in my car right now.
Yes, if you get stuck and you put that kitty litter down in front and back of your tires just a little bit, it'll give you traction.
I know. I like it.
Yeah. By the way, if anybody has a Christmas story or a remembrance of any of the people we've talked about, my goodness, these people have been around Marion for 100 years, or some another person. Maybe there's another person in Marion history who you want to remember very fondly. Give us a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I was thinking early today that, you know, I had good Christmases when I was a child.
I did too.
So I can't really, I know people had bad Christmases, but I didn't. So it's, you know, I don't say that in a, I'm sorry people had bad Christmases. I just don't have any bad Christmases to reflect upon.
Mm-hmm.
But I know people had rough ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think we had always the best Christmases in the world because of World War II. We didn't get the toys, that's for sure. And if we did get them, they would try to pull shenanigans with us, you know, not give us the right package or something at the store.
I think we're getting a call here, Marge. This will be good. Go ahead, caller.
Speaking of Mayor Brown, Dr. Brown, I didn't go to school here, but he was the funniest man. He went to court one time for a very specific friend of his. And he came in and sat down beside of me because I was there to bolster part of the family. And he got to coughing, and I opened up my purse, and I gave him a butterscotch piece of candy. And we were there every day through that whole trial. And about halfway through that week, he, as we were getting ready to leave, he stuck his hand in his pocket and said, "Here, it's my turn to buy the candy for tomorrow." And I thought that was so funny. But he was the most unusual person I ever met.
He was.
And he gave us a lot of support when our church did that thing for the troops at the Palace Theater that time. And he supported all of our young people in our troops. Or, you know, in our church when we did that for the troops that were overseas. And he was just a marvelous man.
He certainly was. Doc Brown will be forever remembered. Hey, thank you for that memory.
You're welcome.
And if anybody has them, call in. That's a fun thing to do here at the holiday time. Remember these people who are so instrumental in Marion's history. 740-383-9944. And I think, people want to talk this morning. That's a good thing.
Good.
Keep them coming. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller. Are you there, caller? Well, maybe we lost that one. If that was you, call back. 740-383-9944. Now, remember, if you get a busy signal, it just means we're on the line with somebody else. So call back in. 740-383-9944. Talking about Christmas past and people in Marion who were important. Christmas is a special time of year.
Right.
And I hope people take advantage of it. And even if you're alone, you know, there are things you can do. Don't feel alone. Go to Midnight Mass. It starts at 11, St. Mary's Church, Main Street. There are a lot of other churches that have candlelight services. They're not going to turn you out. You can be around people.
And if you like pets, get a couple cats. They'll entertain you till the world's end.
And the litter will keep your car going all winter long.
Right. And my tomcat, he has to swing you know his what, and he just acts like he owns the world.
There you go.
He is the nicest cat. And he's so fond of his sister that he will go after her and wait, you know, for her to eat first. Kind.
You know, the thing of Christmas that I want to truly emphasize is it's not and I don't mean this in the financial way, although sometimes it is financial. Go out of your way to do something nice for somebody. It doesn't have to be financial. Do something just genuinely nice.
I've had two people give me free meals at the Perkins.
There you go.
I can't believe it, I think, and I don't know who they are.
The only thing that would not be nice is to get a fruitcake.
Oh, I looked at those at the bank and thought about buying you one.
Oh, I've had my fill of fruitcake for my lifetime. Last week, folks, you got to hear me eat the fruitcake, and that will never happen again as long as I live. But we certainly were happy to give that money. We gave that money Tuesday night to Patty that we raised for Marion Midget Football. So it was a good cause and good fun. But you can do nice things for people, like go and shovel their yard. Mow their grass, take their garbage out for them, babysit if you know the parents don't get to go out very much. You can do things just beyond money. And you know, I said this last week, ornaments. Go buy a dollar box of ornaments and decorate them and hand them out to people. It doesn't seem like a big thing now, but when they hang them on their tree every year, they will remember you.
Right, right.
So there are things that can be done.
Right.
So go out of your way, be nice, help people, and that'll put you in the Christmas spirit.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate when people give me a free meal because it never happens to me before. They think I'm wealthy anyway, so now they know I'm not because I take freebies.
You know what I was thinking about the other day? I think what the Salvation Army does is great, and the kettles and so on and so forth. But I wonder why they ring those bells. Is that just to get people's attention?
I think so.
But boy, I'll tell you, those bells sometimes
drive you nuts.
Oh, those bells, the bells, the bells. What I used to like, there was a girl, Knickerbocker. When we had the major, I think they call them majors at the Salvation Army, Major Knickerbocker was in town. Mm-hmm. He had a daughter who played the trumpet. And when she would go out and do the kettle, she would play her trumpet, Christmas songs, instead of the bell. Mm-hmm. And I think she did a couple of our Christmas shows. Mm-hmm. I can't remember her name, but he was Major Knickerbocker. And, you know, that was a nice, unique thing. You know, I've heard people play the violin. Mm-hmm. Violin music at Christmas time can be very,
very nice.
Mm-hmm. Some of those old hymns on the violin are very, very good.
I always wanted to play violin. Played bass viol, the big thing that you had to carry around. I played that, but never a regular violin.
I always thought of a violin as a very classy instrument.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, yeah.
I carried the big thing around. Nobody could miss me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's a violin. I never learned to play an instrument. I never had those lessons. But I certainly appreciate people who do. That's a talent you keep most of your life.
Right.
And it comes in handy.
Right.
Because a lot of people, hey, can anybody play the piano? Can anybody play the violin? And somebody will be right there to do it.
Right.
So those are good things.
I don't know. I enjoyed my growing up years, and I've enjoyed my old age years. I wish I wasn't all banged up all the time. I've always got a Band-Aid on. Never had a Band-Aid in our house. But boy, do I have Band-Aids. I got them in every size, shape you could think of. And I use them.
Well, that's one of the eventualities, too. I know a lot of people, as they get older, you know, people leave us. And they miss those people, but, you know, I guess that's the circle of life.
I guess so.
I guess is the best way.
What is that one band? What is it that people are wearing Band-Aids or bandages on their arms all the time?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if they have carpal tunnel.
I don't know
what they're doing.
I don't know either.
People do strange things. I know that. I don't know why people do most things, to be honest with you. It's a funny world, but I don't run in those circles, so I guess I don't know.
I don't know either.
But we're here every Friday.
I want to know how this looks like a howling dog. This
this hat?
Yeah, whatever.
It's supposed to be a Christmas tree.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that was George Kasotis's. We're going to have to get the story one day on this hat. What we're talking about is that it looks like a witch's hat, but
it looks like a wolf.
But it's green, and it's red around the bill of the hat, and it's got yellow and green and white and purple puffballs on it, and gold chains strung around it, and there's a star on top. Now it's a Christmas tree. But nobody ever, when they look at that, they never think it's a Christmas tree. They think it's a Christmas hat or something else. But that's what people tell me it is, a Christmas tree.
Well, it looks something like one.
It's an interesting decoration.
Yes, it is.
We've got, how many do we have? One, two, three. We have six Christmas trees here in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
We've got this Christmas hat. We've got the big tree over there, which blinks sometimes, sometimes not. It's not blinking today. Then we've got the brown Christmas tree in the corner with the white lights on it. Then we've got a Christmas tree over here with bows and white flowers and apples on it. We've got the silver Christmas tree over against the wall. And then we've got this tiny Christmas tree here with a Santa hat on the top of it. So six Christmas trees in the studio. And we've got wreaths and bows and...
And then we've got Scott and Marge.
Yes, and we're Christmassy. We're ready for the Christmas holiday.
No, I have on spring flowers.
Spring flowers.
Because I thought I'm going to be spring.
Spring. Now, last year you had a cat holiday sweater, I remember. Yes.
Yep, for my cow cat.
Yes.
Look who's here.
Charlie's here.
Charlie, where did you come from? You snuck in here.
I came in from the backfield there.
And how is the backfield today?
It's dry. It looks like a good rain. The clouds are moving exceptionally fast, like 40 miles an hour overhead. It's amazing.
Cumulus.
No, they're just solid clouds.
The Stradivarius.
Stradivarius clouds, yeah.
The lady from the Farmer's Almanac told me we were going to have a white Christmas.
Oh.
Maybe. I know there's snow in the forecast.
I hope we
really?
Don't.
Really? I thought they said there wasn't.
Well, my understanding is it's Sunday, chance of snow. Well, that's day before Christmas Eve.
I hope we don't have a white Christmas. There'll be a lot more people alive if we don't.
Right.
White Christmas.
It's going to snow, though, eventually.
All that relates
to snow.
White Christmas, way back when we had sleighs, we needed snow to get around.
That's right.
Right, but there's also a song, White Christmas.
Well,
there's
sure, yeah.
Santa Claus is always associated with snow. Frosty's a snowman.
Well, I could do without it.
All the accidents that occur on snowy roads, oh, my goodness.
Well, yeah, but it's going to come. Whether it comes on Christmas or not, it's going
to
come.
To just die that it's not a white Christmas, oh my.
No, it'll be a white Christmas if you die the heavenly light. You'll see the light.
Right.
That'll be the whitest Christmas you ever had.
Amazing.
Well, don't drive like a maniac, I guess is the point.
Well, yeah, you got to drive cautiously. Now, years ago, I used to put chains on my hand.
Yes, we did, didn't we?
Yeah. Boy, was that.
That was a treat.
That was a job, putting those chains on.
Oh. Well, why can't you just stay inside if it's snowing? Don't risk it.
Yeah, if you had to go to work.
Well, I don't think a lot of people are working on Christmas Day.
No, I used to.
I did.
Yeah.
Well, it's happened, but...
But, boy, those chains, you couldn't go over 35 miles an hour because...
That-
They just beat your car
off,
to pieces.
And you'd be afraid somebody would be standing on the corner you'd hit them with
them. And it would be cold and you'd freeze in your hands trying to put those chains on.
You have to watch out for people, though. You know, people still drive fast. Why is it when you're trying to pass in front of somebody, they speed up?
I don't know, but they do.
Yeah. They do. When you're trying to turn in somewhere, you think, I can beat that car, and they speed up.
Yeah,
what kind of reaction is that?
On the way in there, I had a car pass me, ducked in front of me, and then ducked out in another lane and just zigzag on his way to buying Christmas presents, I'm sure.
It's close. Three shopping days left. Four if you count today, I guess.
I bought all of it year round.
You took care of it.
I did.
We're going to break for 10 minutes, and we'll be back with more right after this. Don't you dare go anywhere.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio.